What is good, ladies and gentlemen? We've got a great episode here tonight. We're going to recap the Super Bowl, talk a little NBA, a little college basketball even, and what's all else going on in the world. We've got kind of a interesting week now that football's done. It's kind of time to get into what else we're in, what else we like. So for me, like I said, I'm going to really dive into some basketball, hopefully really get caught up all in that. But Steven, let me introduce you here first. What's up, man?
How's it going, man? Hey, I've got to say before we get going too far into this and say what we're drinking, we've got a brand new audio set up and I'm loving it. I know that since the beginning of the show, we have been using some mics that are not very viewer friendly, so hopefully this is going to make it easier on you guys to listen to us, not so many pops and plosives. We're actually both just holding our mics here. We may get some mic stands later on, but just wanted to say that if you guys notice a difference in audio quality, that is why. Figured it was about time to invest a little bit of money in here and take it as serious as you guys are, so glad to do that, and hopefully this works out.
Absolutely, man. Well, we do drink a beer on this podcast, so we should probably go ahead and introduce that.
Yep.
What are you drinking tonight, man?
Tonight for me is actually the Dogfish Head 90-Minute Imperial IPA. And this is kind of a revolutionary beer for me because it's one of the first IPAs that I drank and thought, okay, I can explore the IPA world because it's a really good beer. I mean, Beer Advocate's got it rated at 95, and that's their world-class rating. It's 9% ABV, alcohol by volume. And overall, I've never seen consistent bad ratings of this beer. And to be honest, it tastes incredible. So
yep.
I've got 120-minute chilling in my fridge. I still haven't found a reason to want to drink that, but I'm waiting on one, and as soon as it's available, I'm going to drink it. I know you've had one last year, but I got to say, overall, if you guys are scared of IPAs like I was because they tasted nasty, give Dogfish Head a chance. You might try the 60-minute. The 90-minute is, in my opinion, a little smoother. It's got some body to it. I mean, it's got a little kick. It's 9%, but it is a very good beer, highly recommended to anybody, whether you like IPAs or not.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I really do enjoy the 90-minute IPA for sure. I am drinking a Marshall's Dunkel. This is a real smooth, easy-drinking beer, 4.8%, so pretty low in alcohol, but it is... it's just that it's smooth, man. I mean, it's got a hints of like caramel, nuts, stuff like that. Anyone who knows what a Dunkel is knows they can enjoy one of these by Marshall's, and you're getting a very good quality beer. So
yeah,
it's something I thought would be a good beer for today. So
well, cool. I have had that beer. I believe I've had it on the show, and it hit me a little bit different than I expected it to for the color it had. I mean, it's a really smooth beer.
Yeah.
That is a extremely smooth beer for how it looks. Marshall's has some beers that I really like. They do. The Dunkel is not my favorite from them, but I would not turn one down. So yeah.
If you guys haven't been to Marshall's, you got to go check it out. Their newest tap room that they opened, man, it's probably been about a year and a half now. Just really great spot. Definitely worth checking out. So get downtown and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, let's go ahead and get this going, man. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
You know, this is kind of a tough episode for me because if we're talking about the Super Bowl and how it all played out, that means football is over. Except when I started thinking about, hey, the XFL actually starts this week. So Saturday, when that hits, I guess football will still be around. I hope the product is, watchable and something that we can kind of get behind because I'm already missing football, man.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the key word, watchable. Mm-hmm. I don't need it to be great. It's not going to be as good as the NFL.
No.
Everybody knows that. But it needs to be watchable. Don't do it. The last one we had, the AAF, is that what it was last year? Yeah. That was not watchable.
No, it was cool, like, I guess the first night or two or whatever, and after that it was just like, eh. I mean, the product just was not there.
Right.
So.
And, you know, the thing they don't have going for them is name recognition amongst the players. The NFL has been a brand for so long. Obviously, they've got a big following, and people are able to stay up with the names, and they like certain players. That's the biggest struggle that the XFL is going to have. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because there is talent. Some of these guys, a lot of these guys, are good enough to be in the NFL, but they're just not great enough, if that makes any sense. You know,
yeah,
they're
just guys who had their time and just couldn't make it work. You know, I mean, we're obviously the Dallas Renegades with Bob Stoops and everything. Got Landry Jones, a guy who was a solid backup in the NFL, just not the guy, you know. And eventually, his time ran out in the NFL, and now he's in the XFL. So
I didn't know that.
Yep, he's the starting quarterback for Bob.
Old Landry,
once again.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I cannot believe I didn't know that. Landry really had his struggles with Pittsburgh. Isn't that where he ended up? Yeah. So, you know, we've had two Oklahoma quarterbacks in Pittsburgh, and it's kind of hard to say which one has worked out better. I would have to think Rudolph, but old Landry, for some reason, it just didn't work in the NFL. It wasn't happening. So
yeah. He just, I mean, you could tell from the way it all played out that he wasn't going to be the guy, but like I said, I thought he was a pretty solid backup. He's the kind of guy that, you know, if he has to play a game or two, you're in decent shape.
Yeah. Well, he will most definitely fit in perfectly in the XFL. He'll probably exceed. And
I think so. I think he will play well.
I think what's going to be one of the cool things about the XFL, and don't worry, guys, we're going to get to our Super Bowl talk here shortly, but I think that one of the cool things that's going to come out of that is you're going to see guys that drop down out of the NFL, or they don't quite make it to the NFL. They go to the XFL and show what they've got. And, I mean, I think you're going to see, can you imagine, like, the situation that the Seahawks were in this year? They needed a running back so bad that if they had somewhere to go like the XFL to say, hey, we need you, so we're going to pay you, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it worked out for them pretty well going and doing what they did, but I really feel like if they would have had some better options or just not had injuries, they could have been NFC champs. I do think that they could have beat the 49ers again if they had their run game. They beat them once. I don't see why they couldn't have done it again.
That's a good way to get right into the Super Bowl then, because last night I thought what gave the 49ers the advantage was going to be the run game. And that first drive, they absolutely ran the football beautifully, did a lot of nice things. And then out of nowhere, they just stopped running the football.
Yeah.
This is what they do. And they had the lead the whole time, so it's not like they were playing from behind. Obviously, Kansas City was selling out on the run, so they were going to make it as hard as possible. But if I told you that Jimmy G was going to throw 31 attempts this game, I would have told you that the Niners were going to lose, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Jimmy G, he is he's not the kind of guy that you're wanting throwing the football 31 times. He showed, I mean, that interception, that first interception was terrible. I know he got hit and he was trying to get rid of the ball or whatever, but just a bad play. I mean, kind of panicked and just chunked it up there. And but I think the biggest thing is, despite all that, despite giving up on the run game, despite him throwing as many times as he did, they had a lead. They had a 10-point lead with a little over 7 minutes left, and they blew it.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely crazy. I would have never in a million years guessed if they were up by 10 with 7 minutes left that they would blow that, because they have the defense to, you know, hold them, and then they have the run game to, you know, kill the clock. So it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
It was. It was what a game it was, though, the whole time. It was so fun to watch the whole time. You just never really got a true sense for who's going to close this one out. You know, at one point it was San Francisco 20, Chiefs 10, if I remember correct. And I still just couldn't accept the fact that the Chiefs were done. It's what they've done all year. They have rallied. They've rallied. They've rallied. Normally, they've done it a little sooner than the fourth quarter. But, man, I'm ready to put Patrick Mahomes in the conversation with Rodgers and Brady and Breeze and Flacco, and I mean maybe Flacco, these guys that have just had clutch performances throughout their career and shown you got to be a big dog at the end of the game and make it happen. And Mahomes did it so many times this year that, I mean, he's got to be the reason they're in the Super Bowl, because time and time again he put the team on his back. But let's not forget Damian Williams and his performance yesterday.
100%.
He absolutely shined. I mean, from beginning to end, he was shaking people left and right. He was going from getting tackled to picking up another 5 yards and just running like a superstar. I was very impressed by him. I think, who ended up winning the MVP?
So they gave it to Patrick Mahomes.
Ugh.
Very disappointing in that. Disappointed in that. Because I 100% agree, Damian Williams was the MVP of the game. From start to finish, he was the guy who they could count on. Obviously, Tyreek Hill came on really strong.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 catches, 105 yards. And Sammy Watkins had some nice catches, too. So,
right.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it, especially with the nail in the coffin run that Williams had to seal the deal. I thought for sure they were going to give it to him. So, disappointed in that, but the NFL has to do that because Patrick Mahomes is the new face of the NFL, and they were going to do whatever they could to make sure he got that MVP. So
yeah, I mean, that's tough because your quarterback, such an important part of the team.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, without Patrick Mahomes, you don't win that game. You just don't. That's right. Plain and simple. That's how it is. But with Patrick Mahomes and Williams at that game, Williams was the key to that win. I mean, I 100% believe he should have been the MVP. I love Patrick Mahomes, man. He is one of my favorite players. He's fun to watch. He gets the job done. But when you look at what happened in yesterday's game, I don't see him as the MVP. I see him deserving as the MVP. I don't have a problem that he got it necessarily because he played his heart out. He played great. He showed MVP style plays, but when you look at everything that happened, Williams had a bigger impact on the game. That's my viewpoint. It's not going to be changed. But anyways, we discussed that a little bit last night. Man, what a cool time. What a fun time we had last night. We did a Super Bowl party and we were undefeated on the beer pong table. So we did lose one individual game, but we won the match. So I don't know how you could look at that, but
It was a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, everyone. It just seems like everyone does Super Bowl parties. You know, it's that one event that everyone just kind of comes together and wants to watch some football, get together with friends and family, and do something. And yeah, last night was no different. Got together, watched a game, and it was just a great game because I remember somewhere in the fourth thinking, well, this is kind of disappointing. I really thought the Chiefs were going to show up better in this, and I guess that Niners defense is real. And then all of a sudden, here came the Chiefs, and they storm back and end up taking the lead right there at the end. And I'm just glad that Patrick Mahomes got the opportunity to try to shine on the big stage. And I mean, he did, man. I mean, it wasn't like that. There wasn't that one play that really stood out, but he was just efficient. He was able to lead the team down the field, and they got it done.
Yeah, I would argue that and say that the play of the game for the Chiefs, other than the interception, that was a clutch interception, was Tyreek breaking out and having that big reception downfield right in the middle. That was a big play. That was a huge play for them. So you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was big.
I'll tell you what. We got to talk about the little shift there, that little move they pulled on on the goal line.
Three-man spin.
Yeah. Wow. That had some style to it.
Yeah. I don't know that was necessary. We discussed that, but maybe just get the defense looking at. I don't know what the science or the thought process is behind that, but unconventional for sure. Unconventional, and I guess anything you can do to throw the defense off in a big game like that, you may as well try it, I guess. I don't know.
I agree. It was kind of interesting. Both tight ends, it's hard to say limited, because Travis Kelce did have 6 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown. You knew they were going to throw him that touchdown on the 1 yard line. I mean, they were getting him the ball. It was going to happen. But besides that, they were just kind of quiet because these are two of the best tight ends in the game. You got Kittle and Kelce. And man, Kittle's name did not get said enough for what the Niners needed to have done. Kittle is such an important weapon to that offense, and man, they just the Chiefs were taking him away. The Chiefs were not going to let him beat them. And I don't know, man. That first drive down right down the field, no problems for the Niners, and then they have to kick that field goal, and I'm like, that's. I thought that if they could continue to do that, if they can continue to move the ball, and I mean they were doing it in such a efficient way. I mean they were running some trick plays, they were just running the ball right down the middle. I mean they did it all, but then it just kind of dried up, man. And I get it, everyone was set, teams get settled in and all that. But think about that for a second. Besides first two touchdowns that the Niners had. After that, I mean, it was just completely dry for the rest of the night. I mean, they did not do anything.
What did the score end up being there? Because I thought they got 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals.
They did. So that's what I said. The first possession, they kicked the field goal. Then they end up getting that touchdown to make it, 10-0?
Yeah.
Is that right? And then after that, it just, I don't know. I knew that the Niners' offense just wasn't going to be able to do quite what they've been able to do in the past, just because the Chiefs were going to sell out on the run. They were not going to let the Niners run the football. And because of that, I mean, they just looked lost out there. I mean, they really did. It wasn't 10-0. It was 7-3.
7-3.
And then Niners came back and scored to make it 10-7.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. Okay. And it was 10-10 at halftime. But overall, I mean, were you happy with the game? You think it was, a good one? One we can remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, one we can remember for sure. I mean, the last time the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl was 1969.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in this region, we're only 4 hours from there. Whether we want to remember it or not, we're going to. And it's definitely one I'll remember just because, growing up close to the Chiefs, know some Chiefs fans, some fake Chiefs fans. Most of them are legit, but... it's cool to see that happen because I've never had a reason not to like the Chiefs organization, right, as I think of it. I mean, I could think of all the other organizations and there's probably 4 or 5 of them that I can't think of a legitimate reason as to why I wouldn't like them. So, I don't have a problem with the Chiefs. I've never had a problem with the Chiefs and I'm glad that they beat the 49ers. I've had some issues with the 49ers in the past. So, good for them. Good for Andy Reid, man. I was happy to see him out there. Looked like the diabetes commercial when he was giving his pregame or postgame speech. But yeah, good for the Chiefs, man. Some people would argue good for the Chiefs, bad for Tyreek Hill, whatever it may be. But as a whole, I enjoy the Chiefs a heck of a lot more than I do the 49ers. So my night was complete when the Chiefs won. I was happy. They won in style too, man. They turned it on and they turned it on late. So everybody listen and watch the game. I feel like if we keep talking about it, we're just babbling.
No. I do want to say, what you just said as well.
Well, if I just said it, why do you need to say it?
I got a comment on that because Andy Reid, I don't know anyone who doesn't like Andy Reid. Andy Reid just kind of like that grandpa that everyone loves. He seems like he's been around forever and he's just never been able to win the big one,
Yeah, because of what they did to him last year. I mean, it sucks they didn't have their chance.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about the Eagles teams that he had coached, and he's put some really good teams together through the years, and he, obviously a great football mind, big football guy, and man, he finally got his quarterback and was able to put it all together and get him one. So very happy for him. And did you see him talking about? He said he's gonna eat a big cheeseburger after the game. He was super pumped about that.
No, but I didn't actually.
Said he might even make it a double.
I saw somebody turn him in, you know, when he's sitting there reading his playbook, which is just like a menu.
Yeah. Oh, that was hilarious.
They show the other side of the playbook, and it's just a food menu. Oh, it's just great. So funny. But you know, we're closing in on that time of year now that we've got to start mentioning it. It's kind of official, kind of not. As of Friday, February 7th, we've got some NASCAR action kicking off. And yeah, it's kind of NASCAR, kind of not. It's the ARCA series goes out for their first practice. And but then you got Saturday, and you've got the Clash practice. So I don't know if you were ready to talk NASCAR, but that's what we're going to do for a minute. So the Clash at Daytona, it's always such a fun race, man. I believe they're running for $1 million. And so it's like competitive, but they're all waiting for the next weekend, which is the big dog, Daytona 500. That's what they all want to do. But then the week, you know, during the week, it's a lot of fun. They run some practices starting Thursday, and they run a duel. Oh, you know what? I think the duel is fun to watch, but they run two of them. I don't know. I could say it every time. If you guys haven't watched, watch. You either enjoy it or you don't, but this is a good time to watch. First week, last week are probably my favorites in NASCAR just because tempers are flaring at the end, and at the beginning it's almost polar opposite. Everybody's kind of happy going into the year, getting back into the season. Nobody's really angry at each other yet. I mean, there's usually some residual leftovers from the last year, but this week is kind of when people start remembering what happened to them in races. You know, if they get clipped, if they get taken out 4 weeks from now when they have a chance to win a race by taking that same person out, they're going to do it. So it's kind of hard. It's interesting. NASCAR is almost like a soap opera in the sense of if you miss 2 or 3 weeks, you may not know the reason for why somebody's mad a couple weeks later. So, you know, you miss episodes, you miss races, you kind of miss out on some of the full action of what is most enjoyable about NASCAR. But you still, when's the last time you watched a full race, or if you ever have?
A full race? It's been a while for a full race, but I've been trying to keep up just enough so we do have stuff to talk about. So maybe that will be one of my things I can do this year is go ahead and get on it early. And
it's normally May. They have a race in Kansas City. It'd be fun if we run up to that. I love going to that track in Kansas City. It is such a fun track to watch.
Which one's that? What's the name of it?
Oh, it's changed a bunch over the years. Normally, it's the Hollywood. It's the Hollywood Casino 400, but they've done the SpongeBob 400. I mean, they've done all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, they do, because they do it twice a year, I can't remember which is which, but it's normally the Hollywood Casino 400. That one might be the second race of the year, but yeah, it's a fun track. You sit almost, no matter where you sit, you can see the whole track pretty much, and that's not super common in racing when you've got big engines and long tracks. A lot of times you can only see a couple turns or curves, and this track is just, it's so fun to go watch. I prefer to sit up high. You get kind of the bird's eye view. You see everything that's going on. It's kind of hard to miss any of the action. If there's a wreck and a fireball, you catch it in your peripheral vision, and super fun week. And we could go up there, go to the Power and Light District. I've never been there, and then run to the race. I think it'd be fun, and I think it might change your view on what NASCAR is a little bit.
Well, I've already said it. I definitely want to go to a NASCAR race live. I mean, that's something that is definitely a bucket list and something we got to do. So
yeah, for sure,
make it happen.
So next weekend, John Jones.
Yes, sir.
We've got the big dog coming back.
No, this is going to be awesome. Super excited to see him fight again. Hopefully nothing too crazy happens between now and then, like him getting popped for some type of, or failing some type of drug test or something like that between now and then. But No, I am super excited for this fight. Obviously going to be watching it. What is it? 247? Is that what we're at? If you start looking at the calendar for this year and UFC fights, even some of the stuff they haven't obviously announced yet, but there are some good fights, and this card is going to be one of those cards that have just a lot of really good talent on it. Derek Lewis is going to be fighting again.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see him go. I think they rushed Derek Lewis way too fast. I mean, it seems like he got his first big win, and all of a sudden he's fighting for the championship, and you knew there's no way he was going to win that thing, unless he got lucky with a big ride or whatever, because he's obviously got hands that are, if he connects, you're probably going down. But
well, he is so fun to watch fight, though, man, and Dana is all for the hype.
Yeah.
Hype brings money, and Dana's about money. Have you seen Dana's a high roller, man?
Oh.
Have you seen videos of him?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he's a high roller, and he loves gambling, and he's about the money. Bring me the money. So if Derek Lewis is hot and he's on a roll, they're going to give him a chance.
Yeah.
You know, if it's what people want to see. You don't typically in this sport, you're going to see the best fighting, but if there's a money-making opportunity for Dana White, he's going to jump all over it. And while we're talking about fighting, I don't think this can go without mention. I mean, I don't know that any of you guys that are listening actually know who Logan Paul is or KSI, but there was a boxing match a couple months ago, and Logan Paul fought KSI. They're both YouTubers. And it was, to a boxing fan, probably hard to watch. To somebody I know who both of them are, and I was kind of looking forward to the fight a little bit because I had a side I wanted to win, and it ended up being just a kind of a blunder of a boxing match. And I think we actually talked about this on the show a couple months ago whenever we talked about Bruce Buffer being out there, just the pain in his face whenever he had to introduce two YouTube stars to a professional boxing match. But these guys have started to earn their stripes. They have actually been training really hard, training with pros. They've got money to spend on training. And believe it or not, the notorious Antonio Brown has called out Logan Paul to a boxing match. And is the dude's name ever just going to stop coming up in ways that you don't expect it to?
I know. It's one thing after another. As soon as you think he might be moving in the right direction, and all of a sudden something else happens.
Yeah.
And now he wants to get CTE from fighting. So
this is actually one of the few things that's come up with his name in it this year that I'm okay with talking about, because it is genuinely related to sports and there is action being taken on it to make me believe that this fight is actually going to go through. And you better believe if Antonio Brown is getting in the boxing ring, I'm paying to watch the fight.
Yeah.
Especially against Logan Paul, who is, in my opinion, a talented fighter. He's not a professional fighter by any means, and he's not a phenomenal fighter, but he can hit, and he can hit hard. And I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be able to take a punch from him. I
think it'd be a good fight. Obviously Antonio Brown is going to get some of the best training possible between now and the fight, and he would be ready to go, in my opinion.
He will.
But
I don't.
I would also pay to see this.
Yeah.
I would love to see Antonio Brown get knocked out. So
I don't think he'll necessarily have better training than Logan will, but
one has a lot of money, and one is, relevant, but not, nowhere near Antonio Brown.
Oh, no, Logan has big money. Yeah, look up their net worths. I'll just say this. Either of them can afford the best boxing coach in the world. But if Logan fights like he did in the last fight, and he fights timid.
I was thinking like 5, but yeah.
Oh, God, no.
He's 19.
Yeah,
19.
No,
million.
He's super relevant. Financially, he's capable of training with whoever he wants to. Obviously, Antonio's going to have more just because of he's Antonio. But I don't know. I really don't want to drag this on about what seems to be a goofy boxing match. But I feel like it's going to be an entertaining one to watch. Can you imagine if Logan's going to come out wearing like a Dante Perfect face mask?
That would be interesting.
Just the ultimate. I mean, how bad would that be? So, yeah, we could talk about this all we want, but people are going to end up falling asleep, I feel like.
Well, let's say real quick. So, I mean, I was going to wait till probably the next episode to talk a little bit, but since we already started on UFC, I mean, Jon Jones, is this, you think he, I mean, Reyes is undefeated. Very impressive. If you haven't seen this guy fight, you got to watch some of his stuff. I mean, dude has been really impressive. But, I mean, do you think he's got enough to take Jones?
Nobody has enough to take Jones.
Yeah.
I'm of that standpoint. And until he gets, until, yeah, Jones has a loss. But until I see Jones lose again, he's unbeatable. So
it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue for sure. I think this will end up being a really good fight, but yeah, I think Jones is in another place now mentally and all that, and I think he'll be ready to go. So
yeah, he's the real deal. He's the single best fighter on this planet. I personally cannot think of a single person that I would put money on to go into a octagon and beat Jon Jones. It's just not happening. And yeah, there's always potential that it could, and some people argue that he didn't look very good in his last fight, but we'll see.
Yep.
I'm going to watch. I will be watching. So.
Absolutely. Okay, well, NBA, it's that kind of interesting part of the season now, because now you're trying to figure out who's real and who's not, and so trade deadline is very important. And some big names getting thrown around here. Two of the names I've seen today is Andre Drummond, from the Pistons, his name getting thrown around if he can make, you know, a contender, you know,
no,
any better, you know, and relevant. I just, you know, he's such a true center that it's hard to think that in today's game how a true center plays and teams win it. Because think of the last few teams to win a championship. You're not seeing the big man utilized quite the same as they once did. Everyone's athletic now. Everyone's shooting threes. Everyone's out there doing that. But I think it'd be interesting to see who would be interested in Drummond. The other one is Russell, D'Angelo Russell. I think that is an interesting guy to kind of throw out there, because he could really make someone, you know, go from hero, you know, zero to hero, I think, pretty quick.
What are they throwing these names out there in regards to?
Well, just the trade talk. I mean, obviously, we're hitting the trade deadline. It will be coming up shortly.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the Celtics are looking at Capella from Houston.
Yep, that was the next name I was going to throw out there. Capella obviously has really raised his stock value in the last couple of years. And, I think they're going to deal him. I think for sure. I think the Rockets are to a point right now in the season when they're realizing, hey, we got to get some help, man, because on the wings, they're very weak, and they're going to have to do something to be able to compete with the Lakers, with the Clippers. I just think something has to be done, because Houston doesn't look quite the way I think everyone envisioned that they were going to.
Yeah, I would... I would have a tough time saying that I think that Houston looks weak on the wings, but that's just because every time I look at the court, either James Harden or Russell Westbrook standing on one of the wings. So that's a tough one. I understand what you're saying, though. I mean, statistically, and something is just not clicking with that team, because they have so much potential. And, I mean, you know the Pinocchio commercial where he's up there, you have potential, you have potential. And his nose is growing. I mean, I feel like that's the coach. But, you know, there is no reason that Houston should not be a contender for the championship this year. They have every piece they need, plus more. And the problem is they've got to go take down Milwaukee. They've got to go take down Los Angeles. You know, they're going to have to fight through other teams that aren't going to be easy to beat, like the Clippers, who also have not shown up like I wish they would have this year. Two of my favorite players on the league in Los Angeles with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and things just are not working as well as I thought they would for that team.
I mean, they're getting going now. They're sitting second, 34 and 15.
Yeah, I know.
Things have kind of picked up a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it still doesn't feel quite the same that what I think everyone thought. But it's still early. I mean, obviously we're seeing, you look at the top eight. I mean, this is very interesting here because Houston's right there in the middle at five. Man, I don't know. I'm looking. I'll tell you what made me super happy when I just looked at the standings here. Seeing Golden State in last place in the West.
Oh, it's just the best.
It's just the best thing in the world.
Well, and what we talked about at the beginning of the season for the NBA, and I know that we talked about it for sure. I'm not positive that we talked about it on the podcast, is when Steph went down, Klay went down, Draymond went down. It was like Warriors tanking for number one. I mean, you know, not intentionally causing injuries, but once the injuries happen, you have to think, are they going to start throwing games for the number one pick? I mean, when you get to the point right now where you're in last place and you're over halfway, or you're right at halfway through the season, you may as well not try to win games and look forward to next year, because you're done this year.
Yeah,
you
could get everyone healthy.
Yeah.
Get that number one, two, you know, lottery pick.
I mean, you can fight your way. You can fight your way back into the playoffs, but realistically, you ain't winning the championship. So, I'm not a fan of the word tanking. I'm not a fan of tanking in the NBA and the NFL, or, you know, throwing matches, whatever. But, you know, they're in a golden position to do that. No pun intended.
Ew.
I really didn't mean to tie those together when I said that.
Man, I don't know. Some things have to change, man. And I'm telling you, it's just so exciting because it's a year where we're just like, I have no idea who's going to win. I have no idea who's going to win at all. Obviously, Milwaukee looks really good, 42-7, best record in the NBA. Lakers are just on a mission now, especially with the whole Kobe thing. LeBron, I think he's more focused now than he's been in a long time, knowing that he's got to go win it for Kobe. So that is where my money would be right now, I would say.
Yeah, you beat me to it, because if we're talking about LeBron being the greatest player of all time, I'm 100% on board with this is the best team he's had in his career. I mean, yeah, he played with Dwayne Wade. He's played with some good players, but you look at the overall team he's got right now, how do you beat him? I mean, I was not sold on the fact that the team chemistry was going to work. I said that at the beginning of the year. I thought they were going to be, you know, one, maybe two rounds in the playoffs and done, but they've really shaped up well. LeBron has played well. They've got Anthony Davis, who, in my opinion, is equally as important to a team as LeBron James. He is an animal. But when you look at that roster and you look at what's going on, and then you take Kobe into consideration, and I'm factoring that into this year, because those guys are going to be playing with some extra type of heart. And we've talked about this on the podcast many times, is that when you get emotions involved into sports, it just time and time again, you see crazy stories coming out. You know, when people pass away that are part of an organization, that organization goes out and they play extra hard. And it's always emotional, but 9 times out of 10, that team finds a way to come out on top. And, you know, it's not by happenstance, in my opinion. So, I think the Lakers are in for a good playoff run. And, like you said, if I had to put my money on a team right now, it is absolutely the Lakers, because I don't see anybody in the West as being a better team. It's so tough, because if LeBron is LeBron and LeBron is what everybody says LeBron is, there's no reason that the Lakers don't win the championship this year. So this is LeBron's opportunity to say, hey, look at me. Yeah. Look at me. Look who I am. You know.
I was just thinking about that. We're talking about greatest of all time. Man, if LeBron could win a championship this year, think about how impressive that is to win a championship with three different teams.
Yeah, I mean, that speaks pretty loud. It does. I agree with that, because
as well, not just a role player. I mean, obviously there's been quite a few guys who,
yeah, him. I mean, you look at like Shaq did it with two teams, and Shaq was a lot of people would say he was not the guy at Los Angeles, but he was the guy. He might not have been the guy. You know, Kobe was the guy, but Shaq was right there with him. And,
absolutely.
You know, he played with Kobe. He played with Dwayne. So I've heard the argument Shaq wasn't that great because he always had two great point guards. But, yeah, that's just foolish talk to me. So
I mean, Shaq, man, especially obviously watching all the Kobe stuff, of just everyone talked about how if Shaq had worked hard, how he would have been the greatest of all time. And if he would have worked hard, Kobe said, man, we would have had 12 rings. You know, right. I mean, no one would stop. He was so different. That's the big thing. No one had seen athletic ability that he had with being that strong.
Right.
I mean, he was a force down low. You could not do anything about it.
You know what's interesting about a guy like him, too, is his career could have lasted a long time because you think he's not shooting, so he doesn't have to practice shooting, like, at all. Right. You know, his training regimen strictly could have been cardio and shooting free throws. And, you know, maybe some, like, turnaround jump shots close in the paint. But ultimately, he doesn't need to practice dunking, which is a lot of what he did. You know, save the wear and tear on your knees. I wonder, looking back, if maybe that could be something he would consider doing differently if he could do it over, is just train super hard on the areas that aren't going to take away from the overall length of your career. You know, for example, impact on your knees and just weightlifting and things like that that really he didn't need. He was such a force. He was so big, which could have come from, you know, some weightlifting and time in the gym, but overall, he was so big, regardless of if he was lifting or not,
right,
that he was going to be throwing people around and getting the ball in the basket. And, I mean, this wasn't supposed to be or anticipated on being an episode about Shaq, but, right, man, you got to pay respect where respect is due.
Absolutely.
You get ring with two different teams. You're obviously a factor. So, but, yeah, like we said, I mean, LeBron wins with three different teams. That speaks pretty loud. I mean, I've been on the fence, you know, teeter-totter. Who's better, Kobe, LeBron, Michael, Durant? You know, time will tell, but three different teams, that is the strongest factor of an argument for all four of those guys.
Yeah, I'd agree. Man, yeah, it's going to be a good finishing to the year. Obviously, the Thunder somehow still staying relevant. They're 30-20, sitting in the 7th seed right now. They're going to make the playoffs with this team, and I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
If you would have told me we were making the playoffs this year, I would have called you a liar, and that would have been it. I mean, especially, it's just kind of funny because we've got these picks, and it's like, we probably shouldn't be winning all these games, but same time, this team is a lot of fun to watch, man. We've talked about it before. I mean, they're just they're full of grit, you know, and they're out there just finding ways to win, so...
Yeah,
I'm all for it, though.
It's been a fun year. Moving forward, we'll both be watching a lot more NBA. And if the XFL is just awful, don't anticipate, even if it's good, don't anticipate XFL talk from this podcast. This podcast does not revolve around the XFL by any means. We will stay up to date on it and notify you of anything crazy going on in the league, but... Go find an XFL podcast if that's what you're passionate about. We are a overall sports podcast, but, you know, we've got, and I still don't want to spill the beans on this, but we've got a really cool thing in the works right now. And here in a week or two, we may or may not have something for you guys and have a couple guests on the show that's going to be one to remember for sure. There is an event that we are looking at taking place in, and unfortunately, I guess I can't say we because you're going to Mardi Gras, but there is something coming up. We are looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Still don't want to spill the beans, but hang tight. Stay with us. You'll find out. Anyways.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about today? I know we're kind of coming towards the end of the show.
Real quick, I was just, while you're talking about the XFL, had me looking here. Yeah, I mean, obviously games start Saturday, and they're on all the big networks: ABC, Fox, ESPN.
Oh yeah,
FSN,
I mean,
one.
They're coming out strong. I like the power that they're coming with.
Yeah, I'm here for it, man. We'll see. Like I said, I just hope the product is good, and we'll go from there. But no, man, that's really all I had. Obviously, football's over, so it's time to start watching a lot more basketball, and I'm really getting the itch for baseball right now, man. I think this is going to be the year for the Yankees.
As you're scratching your leg.
yeah. And I can't wait. I'm all for it, man. So
you think this is going to be the year for the Yankees?
Yep.
You thought that last year too.
Yeah. Well,
and the year before when the Astros beat them.
Yeah. Well, cheater. Yeah. No. I this team is stacked, man. And if we could stay healthy, this is it. So I can't wait.
They do have quite the roster
right around the corner. But,
you know, baseball is one of those you just don't know. You don't know, and there's so much trading that goes on during the year that one pitcher moves from here to there, and all of a sudden this team goes from favorite to, you know, not even in the conversation.
Well, we saw, obviously the Astros, when they got Justin Verlander, that was just such a big move for them right before the trade deadline, and end up winning the World Series. So, I mean.
Yep. So
might have been a few other things that helped contribute to that, but yeah.
Well, hey, this beer has been incredible today. Dogfish Head 90-minute Imperial IPA. Give it a whirl. You will like this beer if you are a beer advocate, if you are a craft beer fan, if you only drink Bud Light, if you drink water, I don't care what you drink. If you don't enjoy this beer, you're crazy. I don't know. You've had it, Preston. You know it's good.
No, I'm right there with you, man. Dogfish Head, they do great things. Really, really, really enjoy it. It's cool that them and Sam Adams have come together. I think they're going to do some great things going forward together as well. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess it's about that time. So, guys, we appreciate you tuning in for this week's episode. We got our Facebook and our Instagram accounts. At Hopped On Sports, run over there, send us a PM, as I would say, or a DM, whatever you may want to do. Send us some suggestions. Tell us what you want to hear about. We got an email. You could send something to us as well. HoppedOnSports@gmail.com, guys. We really do appreciate the support. It's been a great year, 2020, year two. Looking forward to it. But Preston, you got anything else for them?
No, man. I think that sums it all up. So,
all right.
We'll see you guys again on Thursday.
Yeah, y'all have a great week. We'll see you Thursday. Cheers.
Cheers.